comes from surprising places. I was recently part of a conversation with an older gentleman who said that you need time to get wisdom, and so he said kids don't usually have it. And I think that's generally true. Some adults don't either, and I'm one of them sometimes. And yet, sometimes I find children surprisingly wise. Like this, a dad says, "You and me are about to go and have fun." And Clark replies, "You and I, Dad, you and I." Grammar police. Sometimes kids have wise perceptiveness, though. A young girl called Hannah said, "I really wish I had some yoga pants, even though I don't really do yoga, kind of like you, Mum." this one's also from Hannah. It may be the same Hannah, and if so, pity her mum. I think I'm going to be good for the rest of... Oh, whoopsie, I skipped one, didn't I? Yeah, I think I'm going to be good for the rest of my life. Well, except when I make mistakes, but we can blame that on my emotions. Here's some particularly Kiwi-sounding wisdom from Henry, age 3. Darth Vader is a really crabby guy. I think he lives in Australia. Much love to any Aussies here today, by the way. We do love you. Finally, and more to the point, Juan from Indonesia, who's a Tear Fund-sponsored kid, said this. If I was a wise man visiting Jesus, I'd give him a bag so that he had something to put his other gifts in. How's that for wisdom, eh? Very clever. Oh, there is one more. This is a little story. A preacher's 5-year-old daughter noticed her father always paused to pray before starting his sermon. One day she asked him why he did that. And he was pretty chuffed that she'd paid attention. And so he said, "Well, honey, I'm asking the Lord to help me preach a good sermon." And she said, "How come he doesn't then?" That's not an autobiographical story, by the way. I found it on the internet, but still, sometimes kids are wise, aren't they? And wisdom sometimes comes from surprising places, as I say, including from children. Well, the passage that we heard from chapter 2 of Matthew's Gospel, this famous Christmas story of the Magi visiting Jesus, it's about a number of surprising things. It's also about wisdom, and it's about that wisdom coming from a surprising place. Not from children in this case, but from a surprising place all the same. All of it has much to teach us, and if we'll just listen, there's much for us to learn. So I'm going to pray now that not just that the Lord will help me preach a good sermon, but I want to pray that he'll help all of us to hear and see the surprising truth about wisdom, which he has to share through this message of Christmas in the Scriptures. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you do have wisdom to share with us, wisdom that we need, wisdom that can even save us. So help us now to listen as those being spoken to by a wise God. We pray that in your name. Amen. Well, in this Christmas story, we see three things that we're going to focus on today. Surprise arrivals, surprise reactions, and wise worship. Surprise arrivals, surprise reactions, wise worship. We're going to jump into it. Surprise arrivals. And there are two surprise arrivals, I think, in this passage, and they're both announced at the very start of the passage. So listen again from the first verse, first sentence of our reading. I'll read it to you. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we've come to worship him." So firstly, there was the surprising arrival of these foreign visitors, these Magi from the east. I know we just sang of We Three Kings a few moments ago, but actually, while that song has a number of profound and important truths in it, it also perhaps overclaims or overspecifies a few things. In fact, I once read this version of it on Facebook. Someone had made up, "We four Beatles of Liverpool are John in a taxi, George in a car, Paul on a bicycle licking an icicle following Ringo Starr." And the person who posted it said he didn't think that the Christmas carol was much more true to the gospel story than his version, but I think that's a bit harsh. But actually, there is a few things that we need to clarify from out of that song, from the Bible itself. The fact is, the Magi weren't necessarily kings, even though it's called We Three Kings. Magi were actually usually wise, learned people of the ancient world. They were usually from the east, perhaps the old Babylonian Empire or Arabia or Persia. They were often trained in a mix of astronomy and astrology, as well as some other arts. And then in Jerusalem, suddenly out of the blue, these three or more or less Magi turn up. And their arrival was very unexpected. But the reason they turn up, so their arrival was unexpected, their arrival was a surprise. But the reason they turn up was because of another surprising arrival, which is also mentioned there. They'd seen something in the sky which had said to them that a king had been born. And so they travelled a long way to see this new ruler. There was a well-known prophecy about a king arising in Judah, which is the old name for the area that Jerusalem was in. It had a new name by that stage, but it was the old name for it. And this may have had something to do with their making this trip. They'd heard about this prophecy. They saw this star. The key was this. The news of this young king itself came as a big surprise to the people in Jerusalem. This young king's arrival was a surprise to them. Not least to the present king, Herod. Verse 3 says, Herod was disturbed by the news. Disturbed as in stirred up, as in unsettled. Like when you get a knot in your stomach because you get worrying news or something that you're concerned about. And it also says that all Jerusalem was disturbed with Herod. And that may have been because Herod had a habit of taking violent action whenever anyone threatened his throne. He'd had three of his sons killed because they were a threat to his throne, which is fairly extreme. But here was this baby king, this very surprising arrival, which to Herod was surprising. Not in a great way, but it was surprising. I should say, at the time of this story happening, Jesus was likely to have not been newborn anymore. He was newborn when the shepherds came and visited him, which you hear about in Luke's gospel. This was months, or maybe even up to a couple of years after Jesus was born, the time it would have taken the Magi to travel to see Jesus. And as you might have heard in verse 11, Mary and Joseph and the baby, they weren't at the place with the manger anymore. They were in a house in Bethlehem with their little one. So that was all the case. But the Magi, they were surprised too. They, of course, where would you go when you're looking for a new king, a baby king? Well, you'd go to the palace, wouldn't you? So that's what they did. They went to Jerusalem, to the palace of King Herod, the place you'd expect a king to be born. But that's not where this baby king was. So you've got these surprising foreign visitors who've arrived in a surprising way, these Magi, and they have to go and find a surprising baby king elsewhere in a surprising place, not in the palace. But there's another pair of surprises in this story. We've seen surprise arrivals. Now we see surprise reactions. What's that one? Surprise reactions. See, both the reactions to this new king are surprising, I think. There's the reactions of the insiders and the reactions of the outsiders. First of all, the insider reactions. That is, the reaction of those who were kind of on the inside of this new king's circle. This king was born to be king of the Jews, as the Magi said. That's why they came to the Jewish capital of Jerusalem to find him. And his birth was actually predicted by the Jewish scriptures. When Herod wanted to know where the great, long-expected king was going to be born, they went to the book of Micah, our other reading, which we heard Susanna read earlier, and they heard that he was going to be born in Bethlehem, which was a small town near Jerusalem. So they knew to go to the Jewish scriptures because this was to be a Jewish king. They knew where to look for the information about the promised king. Herod knew, the priests and the teachers of the law knew, to look in their Jewish scriptures. So this is very much an insider thing for the Jewish people. And yet, the reaction of these insiders is very surprising. See, even though they knew to look in the Jewish scriptures, what we know now as the Old Testament, and that means they recognized that this new king was a big deal and was the one who was promised by God, because they knew to look in the scriptures for God's promises to know where he would be born. So they were recognizing that he was promised by God. Still, they didn't go and see him themselves, did they? Doesn't say anything about anyone else going to see him. They were just troubled by the news that he'd been born. You see, there's a danger when you're an insider to God's king, that you'll miss what he actually does. Or you'll miss what you really need to hear, because when you're an insider, you can just start to assume it. And you can get comfortable. And you can stop properly listening. And you can treat it like an academic exercise where you know all the answers, like these guys did. But you forget that God actually acts on his promises. And therefore, we need to act in response to what he said. And if you're not careful as an insider, you can start to assume all that and you stop acting on what he said. You stop living by it. In fact, the only action taken by an insider in this whole passage here is taken by Herod. That's his plot, which we see from verse 7. Let me just read you from verses 7 to 8 again. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." Now, the fact that Herod called them secretly immediately raises our suspicions. Secret things are often suspicious. And these suspicions are confirmed when at the end of the story, the Magi are warned not to go back to Herod. And then in the next part of the story, we hear what Herod's real design was. The next part of the story that we haven't read today, you can go and read it yourself from Matthew if you'd like to. Herod undertakes this terrible plan to try and get rid of the baby king by killing the baby boys in Bethlehem. So the reaction of the insiders is surprising. Most of them don't do anything. They just know the right answers but don't act on it. And the one who does act, acts in a terrible way. But the reaction of the outsiders in this passage is surprising too. I'm talking here about the Magi, these foreign astrologers, the people who may well have come from the traditional enemies of the Jewish people, people who once conquered the Jews, the Babylonians and the Persians. They used to rule over the Jews. And yet here they are, traveling a long distance, determined to find this baby king, this Christmas child. And when they don't find him in Jerusalem, they continue on their way to find him at Bethlehem. They've got such determination. They take action. They follow through. And then when they're given a sign of a star to guide them to the place where this king was in verse 10, they are overjoyed. Literally, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. What a wonderful reaction. What a surprising reaction from people who are outsiders here. But perhaps we shouldn't be surprised. Because if we read the Bible, if we read God's big story, we so often find that it's the outsiders who see what the insiders miss. Outsiders often see the wonderful things God is doing. At least those outsiders whose minds are open enough to see it. And it was no different with the arrival of the baby king, the Christmas child. These outsiders see what is happening. But actually, their joy and their perception is not the only surprising reaction here of these outsider magi. There's an even bigger one, which makes up the heart of our last point on this Christmas day, and it's this. Wise worship. See, the wisdom of these outsiders, these magi, is shown above all in what they did when they actually arrived at the house where Jesus was. Did you hear it? Let me read you again from verse 11. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The wisdom of these outsiders is shown above all in what they did here. This was the most right response to the arrival of this child king. Indeed, this was the response that showed they were truly wise. They worshipped him. They worshipped him. That is, they bowed down and they recognized him as God's true king, as the one who is worthy of worship, the one who is worthy to be treated as divine, because that's what Jesus is. He's the divine one who's come to earth. He's God who's made himself known and made himself understandable and made himself relatable to us. That's the wonder of Christmas, where the God of the universe turns things upside down and humbles himself to be born as a human being, to be born of a woman like all of us, to become a helpless baby like we all were, to be nursed at Mary's breast, to be dependent on his parents for everything, and yet he's the Lord of all. And he did that so that he could take on our nature and redeem our human nature, so that all the hatred and the fighting and the failure and the war and the hurtfulness and the abandonment and the brokenness and the fallenness and the death of this world does not have to be the end of the story. Our failings can be overcome and paid for and dealt with because this divine child king came, and because he grew up to become God on a cross, overcoming sin and death through his death, bringing hope beyond death through his raising to life again. How right and wise these magi were to fall down and worship him. And they gave him gifts worthy of a king, worthy of the royalty that he was and that he still is. They gave him worship worthy of the divinity that he was and he still is. That's the right reaction. It's wonderful. But let me close this morning by saying this. This is a wise response, a wise reaction that anyone can have, that anyone can give this king this Christmas. Indeed, today, you can respond in this way. Whether you think of yourself as an insider or as an outsider. For insiders, for church people, people who know this story well, who know our Bible well, let us beware. Let us be careful. For Herod and Jerusalem, they knew, they were the ones who knew the Bible. They knew where to look, didn't they? They found it. They found the prophecy. They knew the old stories. But it wasn't enough. See, it was those who did know the stories, who knew the right answers, who we don't find worshiping him in this story. They're the ones who don't worship him. So let it be a warning to us not to let our hearts grow cool to the wonder of Christmas, the wonder of this Christmas child, just because you've heard it before. Don't let the familiarity of these Christmas stories breed contempt in you or breed complacency. Can I speak for a moment to you young people who've grown up knowing the message of Jesus, knowing the true meaning of Christmas, maybe hearing the Christmas story every Christmas, hearing the Easter story every Easter. Don't let that fool you into becoming over-familiar with it, as if it's just kind of background to your life, as if it's not the most important thing in the world. There are some things you just don't become over-familiar with. I take it if you work in a nuclear power plant, you don't start becoming over-familiar with nuclear power. You realize the power of the thing. You realize that you don't mess with this stuff. Well, like this, but much better and not as dangerous, but then more dangerous in a different way. Jesus is like that. You don't get used to him in that way. You don't start relaxing about him. You say, this is the God of the universe. For us who are older, maybe those who are much older, who follow Jesus for many years now, maybe decades, don't lose your love for this one. You'll wonder at the fact that the God of the universe made himself one of us to save you. Because you needed it. I needed it. That baby born at Christmas, who these wise men later came to see, he is the most important thing you will ever know. Even if you've always known him, you will never know anyone or anything better. You will never know anyone or anything more important or more worthy of your love and worship in your life. Don't miss that due to familiarity as an insider. And for outsiders, those of you who may not feel like you're on the inside of this people of the King, perhaps you're just visiting church today, or perhaps you have things about you, about your history, or your lifestyle, about your attractions, about your feelings, about your doubts, things that mean you feel like you're an outsider. Well, firstly, you're so welcome. So great you're here. Secondly, let these magi show you. You can come to worship him too. Yes, if you decide to set out on a journey that leads to worshiping him, it can be costly. It does lead to change for all of us, both insiders and outsiders, because our Lord Jesus loves us too much to leave us how we are, and it can be costly, even scary. But it is the most wonderful thing, because this one who came as the divine king came to save you. He came to save you. He came to save you because he loves you. These magi, these outsiders, they were wise. They could see that. They could see that he came to save. They could see that he calls all to him. Can you see that? I hope you can. Let me pray. Please join me.